Of course, I want to begin with a thank you for joining me today as we open up the Bible and take a look at what God says. Somebody recently mentioned to me that I guess they went somewhere to a church, I guess it was, and they didn't use the Bible. I guess it's, I'm not sure what it is. More I'm guessing, I'm trying to figure out why they would preach or teach in the church without the Bible. So would you take your Bible with me, please? I'd appreciate it. Find with me 2 Corinthians 4. Find with me 1 John 1. So you'll need to have two spots. You ever wonder what it would have been like to live in Jesus' day? According to one book, it's called Jesus and the Gospels by Craig Blomberg, the Jewish population of the Roman Empire at the time that Jesus lived on earth would have been about 4 million. 700,000 Jewish people, most of them living in the land of Israel. And the average family in that day would have lived in a, well, two-story home, one room. The second story was outside, above a location where their animals would have lived. Jewish families often included their grandparents. Jewish families normally would have lived on two meals a day, mostly bread. 70% of the Roman Empire consisted of people living in poverty, farmers, shepherds, fishermen, herdsmen, and of course those who served the Roman government, military, tax collectors. But the disciples, generally speaking, would have been among the poor. You added the Jewish temple taxes together with the Roman taxes in Roman world, 50% of your taxes, 50% of your income were your taxes. And then it must have been an amazing thing to be around Jesus. For lots of reasons, it must have been an amazing thing to be around the Son of God when he was on the earth, to see how he interacted with the Jewish leaders, to see how he interacted with people in general, Roman officials and so forth. They had watched him, they saw him in action, they listened to Jesus as he dealt with all kinds of people. Well, is there any difference between the relationship that the people had with Jesus in those days and the relationship we have with Christ today? Think there's any difference? Look with me at 2 Corinthians 4 and find with me the 18th verse. Here's what it says. While we look at not at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. I'm thinking that the main difference between those days and our days and their relationship with Christ and our relationship with Christ is we see things that are not seen. Should I say it again? We look at not at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. We look at things that are eternal. Now find with me 1 John chapter 1 and verse 6. If we're saying that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we're walking in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Today we can walk in the light, and walking in the light means that we have fellowship with the eternal. fellowship with the eternal person. We can experience fellowship with God the Father and God the Son. Now, it's granted we cannot see Jesus with our physical eyes. Granted. But we can know Him and fellowship with Him in an absolutely wonderful experience. By the way, first century, the apostles followed Jesus, right? Did you know that there was one of them that followed Jesus that didn't follow Jesus? His name was Judas Iscariot. Some of us know something about Christ, but we don't know His presence. And I think that there's reasons for that. We have not obviously made the choice to walk in the light. So I want to say to you as I start today that fellowship is the norm for the Christian's life. I've titled today's message, What a Fellowship. The secret to the Christian life is in this term, fellowship. What a fellowship. Thank you, Lord, for Your Word. Thank You for Your Spirit. Thank You, Father, that You've given us Your Son. Thank You, Lord, that there is life in one person. In one person, and that is Your Son. Thank You, Lord, that there is life, there is fellowship, there is a relationship with You in one person, and that is Your Son. I pray, Lord, today as we look at Your Word, we pray and ask, Lord, that Your Spirit would be our teacher. We thank You, Lord, that the Word is absolutely true. There's not a single mistake in it, that it's blessed, it's pure, it's a holy book, it's the good book. It's what we need for every day of our experience, and we thank You for it. So direct our hearts this morning, Lord. If there's one among us that has never repented, we pray today would be the day. Father, that we have gathered now in this place, that we might hear from You. Help us, Father, to have our hearts tuned to You, Lord, to listen to You, Lord. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. You might remember with me the second miracle that Jesus performed in Cana of Galilee. Actually, it was an amazing miracle for lots of reasons. Second miracle of Jesus, Roman official who was from Cana at the time, was in Cana, but not from Cana at the time Jesus was there in the land. This Roman official had a son who was on his deathbed, 17 miles away in the city of Capernaum. Maybe you remember the story. It goes like this. Jesus came again at the Cana of Galilee where He made water to wine. There was a certain official, Roman official, whose son was sick at Capernaum, 17 miles away. And when he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto Him and he besought Him that He would come down, heal his son, because he was at the point of death. Jesus said to him, "Except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe." The nobleman said to Him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." Jesus said to him, "Go your way." And as he was going down, his servants met him, and they told him, saying, "Your son lives." Then he inquired of them the hour when he began to amend, and they said unto him, "Yesterday at about the seventh hour." That would be between noon and one, that the fever had left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said to him, "Your son lives," and himself believed, and his entire family. Now listen, folks, Jesus not only knows everything, He can do anything. Here's what I want you to think with me about, though. He's able to be everywhere at the same moment. This young child is 17 miles away, and Jesus is right there with him. This young child is at the point of dying, and Jesus is right there with him, even though he is in Cana of Galilee. Omnipresent. Jesus is God. He's God in the flesh, and being God, Jesus is always present. Listen closely. Everywhere present at the same time. Fully present. Not physically, but He is fully present. You see, in those days, they saw him with their eyes. In these days, we see him with the eyes of our heart. We see him with the eyes of faith. They lived in the same world that he lived in. They ate with him. They lived in a world where he lived. He slept among them. If you remember the story of him being in the boat, he was just as present when he was sound asleep as when he was awake. But listen, this is what's really on my heart today. When Jesus was on the earth, folks, he was local. He is not local today. He is everywhere. Listen to Scripture. Jesus said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, listen closely, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. And you remember this over in Matthew, for where two or three are gathered there together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. You need to think about the person of Jesus with me when you're thinking about God being present. He is constantly among us as the resurrected Son of God. Now, the term that we use is this word for the Lord being present is fellowship. Truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. What a fellowship. One of the great Christian hymns is called, What a Fellowship. I love it for lots of reasons. But listen to these words. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in the pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Verse 3, what have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near, leaning on the everlasting arms. This beautiful hymn was written by a Christian pastor by the name of Elisha Hoffman. And Pastor Hoffman wrote some 2,000 hymns, as well as in his lifetime, 50 songbooks of Christian hymns. I think this is among his best, and here's the reason why. Verse 3. Look what he says in this verse. Listen to this. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. He's describing his fellowship with Christ. He's describing what John talks about, pardon me, in 1 John chapter 1. He says, I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Again with me, 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 6. Look at these words. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. We say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I want to say something about Jesus today being present. Do you believe the Bible? Look at this, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same in those days as he is today. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday as today and forever. You see, someone can experience the presence of Christ in China while you experience the presence of Christ in Connecticut. You need to think about the person of Christ as omnipresent. That means everywhere there is where there is Christ. Jesus Christ is omnipotent. He is omniscient, but he's also omnipresent. The person of Jesus is everywhere present at the same time. The problem, listen closely, if there's no sense of his presence, the problem is not with him. If there's no sense that he's here, the problem is not with him. Look again at 1 John 1:6. If we are saying that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. You see, at any moment that you choose to walk in the light, you're choosing to walk with the light. You're choosing to follow Jesus, and you're choosing to experience fellowship with the Son of God, the omnipresent Son of God. I know for a fact, folks, that the Lord wants us to be close to him. I also know for a fact that we don't always want to be close to him. But it's a fact that he wants us close to him. He wants us to know his blessed presence. He wants us to know his pure and perfect presence. And I'm telling you the honest truth, we don't often want his presence. I want you to think about the practical side of what it is to be saved. Let me see if I can make this illustration simple for you. Let's say you're married and you're upset with your spouse. Let's say you're married and upset with your spouse today. Would you agree with me that you are fully and completely married? Absolutely. Where's the problem? Listen, folks, the problem is our fellowship one with the other. Now, when it comes to salvation, aren't you sure of heaven? Aren't you a child of God? When you leave this world, aren't you going right up? Absolutely. Today, though, you may not think that I am in fellowship with Christ. I might even say it, and yet I'm walking in darkness. You can see what the Bible says here. So a couple things that's on my heart today. Number one is this: fellowship with the Lord is primarily a matter of living in his presence. The scripture says, in simple and plain terms, if we're saying that we have fellowship with him, let's stop right there and just say something about we. You know who the we is? The we is the Apostle John and those who are living in his day with him. The other apostles, other disciples, other Christians. So if we, meaning any of us, could fall into this very same trap of saying and not experiencing. The Bible says, if we say that we have, if we are saying that we have fellowship with him and we are walking in darkness, we're lying and we're not doing the truth. But if we are walking in the light, look at the Bible, folks, we are having fellowship. That's what the Bible teaches. Now, I know that the Bible says this. It's very plain, Old and New Testament. But the Bible says here in 1 John, God is love. Do you know God is love? Do you know God is love? Do you know what God is? In his essence, God is love. The person of God is love. Think about it with me. I'm going to go back here. Yes, I'm going to ask you to find with me the book of Genesis. So turn all the way back to your first book of your Bible and find with me the third chapter, and let me show you this matter of fellowship in the third chapter and the seventh verse. Find with me Genesis 3 and look at the seventh verse in your Bible, please. This is what Scripture says. This is the time, this is the moment, this is the occasion right after they had partaken of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. This is right after they got done eating. Now, what is important? Matter of fact, what's the most important need of Adam and Eve? I'm going to say to you that they needed fellowship. Look what the scripture says. Genesis 3:7, their eyes were opened and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid. What does your Bible say? They hid themselves from fellowship with God. They hid themselves from his presence amongst the trees of the garden. And yet, the Lord God speaks. And he says, Adam, where are you? You see, immediately upon sinning, they felt ashamed. The Bible says they covered themselves, and the Bible says they hid. Does anybody know what really the effect of sin on our hearts and minds really is? There it is in a nutshell. You know what the effect of sin really is? Makes us feel ashamed. Makes us feel guilty. It makes us feel afraid. And makes us want to hide from God. That's the power of sin. Think about it. The moment they sinned is the moment they didn't want fellowship with the Creator. I'm thinking, I'm so glad for Genesis 3:9. I am so glad. The Lord said, Adam, where are you? Now, I'm going to give you another example. You don't have to turn there, but it's in the book of Exodus chapter 25. It's really the story of the building of the tabernacle. It's an interesting line where the Bible says this. Why did God have the Jews, why did he have the Israelites build the tabernacle? Does anybody know why? Look at Exodus 25:22. Look at this. There I will meet with you. God says, there I will meet with you. I will commune with you from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubims that are upon the Ark of Testament. You see, when the Lord uses this word commune, it's the same word of conversation. We say communication is conversation. But when the Lord communes with us, he speaks with us. You're in communion with the Lord? That means you're in speaking terms with the Lord. So when the Bible uses this word fellowship, same word, fellowship, communion, same exact word. You see, you know what fellowship really is? Fellowship is conversation. He speaks, you speak. You listen, he listens. Fellowship is joy, wonder at the connection with Almighty God. Companionship, friendship, relationship. God knows me, and I know him. He speaks to me, and I speak with him. He knows me perfectly. He loves me perfectly. He can never stop loving me. Listen, I'm saying I'm in fellowship with someone when I am in conversation with that person, the one who died and the one who rose from the dead. So, folks, for a Christian, living in fellowship is the most ordinary thing in the world for you. Christ is omnipotent, he is omniscient, but he is omnipresent. The normal thing for the Christian is to have fellowship with the Father and with the Son. You see, folks, I can enjoy fellowship with my Lord all day, every day, for the rest of my life. What do you think God's purpose in bringing me into this world was? So that I'd live on my own? So that I'd be separated from him? So that I wouldn't like to be in his presence? So that I could dismiss him whenever I wanted to? No. He made me for fellowship with him. He made me for close communion. Listen, I've said it before. I'll probably say it 100 times more before I die. I'm married. Can anybody here guess who I really, really want to have close communion with? Can anybody guess? Listen, I love my kids. They're great kids. They are. They want us to live with them. I say, what? You want to destroy the wonderful relationship we have right now? I'm living with my wife. I want to be with my wife. That doesn't mean I don't want the kids around. But who do I really want to have fellowship with? I say, close fellowship. You see, he saved you to know him and to love him. He brought you to himself so that you would enjoy fellowship with him every minute of the day. The Lord created us for communion. When Christ died on the cross, listen closely, when Christ died on the cross, he paid for your sins. He had none of his own. He paid for your sins on the cross so that, forgiven, yes. Go to heaven, yes. But folks, he saved you for fellowship with himself. What does God really like about you? Everything. He made you. He wants you next to him. He wants you to enjoy him. Listen, folks, God wants to enjoy you every minute of the day. He wants your communion with him. Why did Christ die on the cross? Why did he take care of my sin? Why is the power of sin gone? Why is the judgment of hell gone? Why? Because fellowship has come. I'm in the presence of Christ every second of every minute of every hour of the day. I can enjoy fellowship with my Lord all day long for the rest of my life. Another passage in the book of Exodus, you don't have to turn there. I was thinking about Exodus chapter 33 with respect to this matter of fellowship in the Lord's presence. Moses has gotten to this little bit of a back and forth with God about going up to the land of Canaan. In his conversation with God, the Lord listens to Moses. Moses said, I'm not going up unless your presence goes with us. That's what Moses said to God. I'm not going there unless your presence goes with us. Look what the scripture says. Exodus 33. Therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me your way that I might know you, that I may find grace in your sight and consider that this nation is your people. Now watch this line. This is amazing. He said to Moses, my presence will go with you and I'll give you rest. My presence will go with you and I'll give you rest. Some of you are missing out on rest because you're missing out on his presence. Verse 15, he said unto him, if your presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in your sight? Is it not that you are going with us? So shall we be separated, I and your people, from all the people that are on the face of the earth. The way you know that you belong to him, look at the last line there, that you're distinct from the rest of the people in the world, is because you've got his presence. So as soon as John begins this epistle that we've been looking at for the last month, we find out that John thinks that fellowship is pretty important for a Christian. As I have surrendered myself to him, I'm saved. I'm surrendering myself to him. And he says that I can walk in fellowship. By the way, there's something interesting here I just wanted to share with you. Look what it says there. Fellowship with the Lord includes doing the truth. Here's the scripture. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, continually cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Just as soon as John begins the epistle, he immediately begins to describe these conditions. And I say these conditions because the conditions are five of them. Five conditions. They all start with a little word, if. Now look with me at the condition and look with me at the reality. Look at the condition with me. First half is the condition. Second half is the reality. The condition is, if we say we have fellowship with God and we're walking in darkness. That's the condition. What's the reality? We're lying and we're not doing the truth. Well, that's pretty powerful. You see, the condition that you're saying something and you're doing the opposite just doesn't go with God. Doesn't go with God. He's not interested in what you say as much as in who you are in relationship to Him. So the condition, you're saying something that's not true, don't even say it. Because you're lying. You see, when it comes to having fellowship with God, yes, you can say it, but you can also experience it. We want to do the truth. Folks, I want to give you this little illustration the best way I can. Suppose I said to you that I'm a climber. I'm going to guess that probably some of you would say, oh yeah, I believe you're a climber, Pastor. But suppose I said I was a climber, okay? And the reality is that I've never climbed a mountain. First of all, what would you think if I said I was a climber and I never climbed a mountain? What would you think? Isn't there something awry here? Now, if I said to you, I climbed Mount Ampersand over in New York with my friend Brad Iverson. If I said to you, I climbed Mount Washington with my son Dan. If I said to you, I climbed Mount Katahdin with Gavin Kurtz. And I showed you a couple pictures. Doesn't that change things just a little? You see, it's easy for us to say stuff. It's just easy. I'm the guiltiest of all. Of all of you, I say stuff that my wife says, why did you say that? I have, based upon James chapter 3, the guy there in James chapter 3, you know what he says? You can't control your tongue, you can't control your life. So I have to listen to my wife, and I have to listen to the Spirit in the Word. But I have difficulty with my speech. Maybe I'm the worst among us, but listen, folks. We can say all sorts of stuff. What the Lord wants us to do is to do the truth. And the truth is the person of Jesus. Remember what Jesus said on His last day before the ascension? Look at Matthew 28. Go ye therefore, disciple all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe, that's the word do, all things whatever I have commanded you. And look at the next line. Behold, I am with you until the end of the age. You see, the Lord commanded, and we are called to obey. Why should I read the gospel? Why should I read the Bible? Why should I read the scriptures? Because the Lord wants me to learn that obedience does matter. Here's Jesus. He said this. First things first. Believing and then obeying. Look at this. He that believeth on the Son has everlasting life. It doesn't say he that does a lot of good works and is baptized and prays 24 hours a day. He that believeth on the Son has everlasting life, and shall he that believeth not shall the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides upon him. John 6:29. Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. So saving yourself by your efforts, by your good works, please remember, that is not biblical, Christ-centered salvation. Believing on Christ is enough to save your soul for eternity. The day you trust in Christ, you get washed away of all your sins, you are on your way to heaven, not because of anything good in you, but because of all the good in the Son of God. First, believe. But the Lord also said this. He says, teaching them to do all the things that I have commanded you. And men, I'm with you all the time. See the fellowship? The fellowshipping with the Lord includes doing the truth. I honestly can't envision, imagine, or even think of a Christian who just closes his book and never opens it, never knows what he needs to obey. Maybe he's not a Christian, and he's only, watch, saying he has fellowship with God. But the Christian not only says it, but he opens the book. But he doesn't just open the book, does he? He's learning what Jesus said, that we have to be obedient to what he says. So doing is important. Let me give you this example. Ephesians 4:28. You see, before salvation, I could do all sorts of things for God. No avail whatsoever. After salvation, I can do things by his power. Not for him as much as by his power for his glory. Look at this, Ephesians 4. Let him that stole, steal no more. But rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to those who are in need. Let no unwholesome communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, to the use of building up, that it may minister grace to the hearers. So when was the last time you went to the store, forgot to check out what was under the bottom of your cart? You paid your bill, you're on your way out the door, you're putting your groceries or your stuff in your vehicle, and you notice there's stuff underneath your cart. And so far, you've got away from it. Why? Because the buzzer didn't buzz when you went out the store. So you know you got away with it, right? Did you get away with it? No, you didn't get away with it. What does it say in the Bible? Were you a thief before? Then don't be a thief now. That's what it says. If you stole before, don't steal now. So what should you do? Go back in the store, shouldn't you? You put it in your cart because you intended to pay for it, but so far you haven't paid for it. And pretty sure you're going to go home with those, I don't know what you put under there, except for one thing. Now you're going back. Now, folks, if you have a Savior in Christ, you have someone who wants your fellowship more than you'll want anybody's fellowship in this world. That's how much he wants your fellowship. He's your Savior. He's your Lord. He's your Master. He's your King. He created you to have fellowship with him. He's the one that deeply loves you, perfectly loves you. He's always interested in your fellowship. I don't care what time of day it is, and I don't care what kind of sin you have sinned. He's always interested in having your fellowship. So if you sin, he spells it out very simply. If you sin, confess it. That's all he says, confess it. Say the same thing he says. And then the blood of Christ not only forgives you of that sin, but it cleanses you from all unrighteousness. you not only get the edge of the cup clean, you get the whole cup perfectly clean. How else can you have fellowship with God if the whole cup isn't clean? See? So if you've repented, if you've trusted in Christ, the most normal thing in the world is to walk in the light. The plain fact is we need fellowship with God. The plain fact, though, is we don't always want fellowship. And that's because we're walking in the darkness. And he says, what? What? You see, we do really want to experience joy. We just don't know that the root to joy is fellowship. What the Bible says. He's present, so I choose to have fellowship with him, and then you know what he does? He just fills out joy. He's here, I choose to have fellowship, and then he just spills out joy. That's what it says in the Bible. So John wants us to have fellowship. I could say this to you 100 times over, but you need to think about it, and you need to believe it. You were made for fellowship. You belong to him because he's your creator, but he's your savior. He created you for fellowship with himself. He's the one that perfectly and deeply loves you, and he's always interested in close fellowship with you. Now, he's not here physically. Let's be realistic. He's not here physically, but he's here for sure. He's here spiritually. And you and I are here to know him and to enjoy him. That's God's plan. That's what he's after today. He's made a way for you and I to do just that. So you go to him for fellowship. He welcomes you and he receives you. And the question then, of course, is going to be, are you responding to him? That's what the question is. Will you choose to walk in the light and enjoy fellowship with the Lord? Are you trusting in the one who is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Are you putting your confidence in the shed blood of Christ? Do you know what the cross is all about? Do you understand what the cross is? The cross is the doorway to fellowship. No matter what the world thinks or says about the cross, it's the way to have fellowship with God. Free gift, my sins are gone. So if you're a sinner in need of a Savior, here's the prayer. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I ask your forgiveness for all my sins. I believe on your Son today as the one who paid for all my sins. Thank you for the free gift of eternal life. Amen. If you're a Christian, how about this one? Lord, I thank you that you want my fellowship. I suppose I could put it like this. I thank you that you want my fellowship more than I want yours, if truth be told. Thank you for your presence here with me today. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that perfectly cleans me from every single sin. I will do the truth today. I will walk in the light. Father, you know our hearts. You certainly know our prayers. You know our thoughts. You know our behavior. You know our lifestyle. You know the things we say better than we even know them, Lord. We forget them 5 minutes after we said them, Lord. But Father, we know that you have given to us a Savior in Christ. We thank you that we have someone that we can go to every single time in the event that we sin, be forgiven by confession, and be cleansed by confession. Thank you, Father, so much for giving us a wonderful Savior in Christ. If there's one among us, Lord, that's never repented, we pray today would be the day. And then, Father, today would be the day that they would find a true salvation and fellowship with you, Lord. And for the saint, Lord, we're so stubborn, we're so selfish, we're so insistent on our own ways. We so want our ways. Yet, Lord, I pray and I ask that you will give us the heart prayer of Jesus. I delight to do thy will, oh my God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.